Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Thanks for listening. You are with heritageradionetwork.org. This is Sari Kamen coming to you from the back of Roberta's in Bushwick. Today in the studio, I have two very special guests. I have Chef Kenny Cuomo and General Manager Thomas Tracy from new restaurant Omar.
Hey, sorry.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, guys. So Omar is not quite open yet. There's a lot of buzz going around. It's going to be open about 2 weeks, would you say?
We're starting tastings next week for staff and for friends and family, and then we'll be official end of the first week of May or beginning of the second.
Okay. So tell me a little about Omar.
Omar.
Omar the person or Omar the restaurant?
Let's start with Omar the person. So he's the owner of the restaurant. The restaurant is his namesake.
Correct.
He's Omar Hernandez.
Right. He is Omar Hernandez. He's from Venezuela. He came to the States, gosh, I think about 7 or 8 years ago. He was in California. He was an actor. Found his way to Miami, where he started. He met actually Andre Balazs from the Raleigh Hotel, and he started throwing parties. I believe his official title was the director of flair, is what Andre gave him, and he started throwing parties for Andre, and moved his way into an F&B director. And stayed with the hotel for quite a while, and then he moved to New York about 2 years ago and started doing the same thing here. Now he goes between Miami and New York.
Okay, and this is his first restaurant?
It is, yes. Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so what made him want to make the transition, if you don't mind speaking on his behalf, between being sort of like a socialite hospitality person and then actually being a restaurant owner?
Well, he's always enjoyed good food, and he decided he wanted to create a place that was like a home for people. Built all around hospitality, all about the way people are treated, and just great food.
Okay.
And so he decided. So we had a chance encounter meeting about in August through a chef friend of mine who I used to work with, Dan Barber, made an introduction. We started talking. We have another partner, Russell Muse, who was in it. It was three of us. We started talking about concept, cuisine, design, and then here we are about 8 months later getting ready to pull the trigger and open up.
Yeah. So you worked with Dan Barber at Blue Hill.
I did work with Dan Barber at Blue Hill, and as well in the city and upstate at Stone Barn. He's a great friend, a man I admire very much so for the way he respects and treats ingredients, his connection to the farm, to the land, and his passion for hospitality.
Yeah.
He's a very, very rare breed out there.
Mm-hmm. And he's really known as being an advocate for farm food, local food, sustainability, farm-raised animals. You can go visit the barns right there and see the animals that, you know, if you're staying for dinner, you might end up eating on your plate.
No, it is like that. That's what he's created. It's like an educational center, yeah, where you can see the field, where he has access to knowing that day you can pick a celery root from the field, share it with a guest an hour later, and there's nothing more. That's the most personal as it gets. That's such a great connection to the earth. So that's what he's trying to create. They do classes up there. People go for tours. You see the greenhouse. It's an amazing space.
Yeah, I'm curious, were those food values that you had before you started working at Stone Barns, or is that something you absorbed working there?
Something that I've always had. I've respected a great deal. My food, my family is 6 generations in the hospitality industry. So when they came from Italy, they were butchers, fishmongers. They came here. My great-grandfather had a little fish shop. My grandfather was a food distributor. To this day, my father is still a food distributor. It was in my blood, and so I understood that hospitality, the treatment of people. I started working with him when I was 9 years old, and as I continued to do that, I realized I don't want to sell the food so much. I enjoyed nature. I was a professional bass fisherman. I would travel and fish and just spend my time outside, and then I realized I want to create, and I want to bring the food from nature to the plate. So that's been a lifelong journey, and it takes forever to get there. Huh. But he was definitely one of my greatest influences. I started working with Ed Brown, in the Sea Grill about 12 years ago, working my way up. From there, I spent some time at Picholine in the city. After that, I went out to California, worked on some vineyards, learned about wine, and then I went to Europe for several years, studied culture, saw how people live, how they eat, as well as staging in Michelin-starred restaurants. Some of the best times of my life, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So much fun. When I came back to the States, I went to Chicago. I spent about 2 years with Charlie Trotter, which he, to this day, is still one of my greatest influences. The man would treat people with unbelievable respect. If a guest would, we were a dinner-only restaurant, 5 nights a week. If he would see a guest looking at his menu during the day, he would just invite them in and we would cook lunch for people, random, on the spot. That's how much he cared and how he wanted to give people his experience.
That's never happened to me.
Just no. Well, it's very rare because not a lot of people do that. You know, he's...
They don't.
You know. From there, I went to Alinea, was on the opening team there, stayed there for a while, was working very closely.
Arguably one of the best restaurants in the U.S.
It's a great restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago as a whole in a food community is an amazing culture, amazing way of life, and some of the greatest food you can find. It's a concentration. I mean, the schedule is five-day work weeks. Everybody gets 2 days off, dinner only. It's all about the food and the guest and a little bit of quality of life, which I do miss a little bit in the Midwest. So, but New York is where it's at.
New York is where it's at.
I'm sorry. This is my home. This is where I'm from. I want to be part of the community here. And so that's why I decided to come back to New York.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky to have you, and you shouldn't apologize for loving New York. But because I think a lot of chefs probably find it challenging to be able to create such a farm-to-table experience in New York, although, you know, it's obviously having its moment. But have you found that it's more challenging in other restaurants you've worked at? I know you've been at Per Se, you've been at Del Posto. I mean, luckily, Blue Hill is a wonderful place to sort of, you know, explore that farm-to-table type of eating.
Well, I've been very fortunate. All those restaurants in that upper echelon get the finest ingredients, and most of them have farmers. You know, I'll say when I was at Del Posto, Mark Ladner had a connection to a lot of farmers, which we had our own, and they would be bringing us herbs and little greens that they would find. And in turn, we would use our old fry oil and fill up their car so she could keep going back and forth. So we created a system just for that. At Per Se, we had the garden at the French Laundry, which, fine, it's still coming across the country, but it's still our own garden that we still had access to, as well as connection to lots of foragers around. You know, today I still continue these relationships. We have a huge market presence. We're there every Wednesday, every Saturday, talking to the farmers. We have connections to some of the best stuff that comes out, the first dibs at it. And those relationships have been worked on for a very long time, and a lot of work has gone into working with those farmers and, you know, not just buying from them when things are plentiful, but when times are lean too. You still have to support these farmers year in and year out. So that's what we're creating with the culture here. My staff is super hungry. They're there. They have relationships, and we're just continuing this tradition. So hopefully it's special and it just keeps going on.
Yeah. One thing I've heard you say at Omar when you talk about the food is you are just not willing to compromise on the integrity of the ingredients that you use. Like, you're not looking to cut corners, which I don't hear that from a lot of chefs when you're actually behind the scene. But, you know, and it's risky. You guys are a new restaurant. You haven't even opened yet. So how can you feel so confident about, you know, spending the money that you need to spend in order to put out the best product at this point in time?
Well, it comes to being, as a man, everything I do is utmost of integrity. So when you set this standard for yourself, you have to live up to it. You owe it to the people who come to work for you. You owe it to the people you buy food from. You owe it to the animals that you're eating. Mm-hmm. So it's just this high level of standards, which you believe in and you stick to all the time. And that conviction, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you suffer from it. But mostly that reward is you do what you say you're going to do. You stick to it till the end. And that's it. Right. Same as with food, same as with relationships.
Yeah.
So.
Thomas, what's your story? What's your background? I know you come from a very different side of hospitality.
I do. Well, actually, I started in food and beverage years ago working for Jeremiah Tower in San Francisco. I was in school for architecture design, and I worked part-time for JT. And when I was there, I mean, we had people like Mario Batali passing through the kitchen. It was a really amazing time. It was 91, 92 in San Francisco. I went into design, And it's actually funny. I used to stop by Stars after work, and Jeremiah would be there with his ever-present glass of champagne. And he would always say to me, you know, how's that that construction thing you're doing? And I would say, well, it's actually, I'm actually a designer and an architect. But and he would say, well, you need to be in food and beverage. So I had the opportunity to go to school, culinary school. Thought I wanted to be a chef. Didn't like it. It takes a special person, somebody such as Kenny, who's such an amazing chef. He has the right personality for it. I don't. But what I found I enjoyed was the front of the house. So sort of focused my attention more on the front of the house. I worked for the Viceroy. I worked for a couple of smaller houses. And then I had the opportunity to work for at Felidia for Lydia Bastianich, which was... it was such an amazing experience because I really learned everything that I know about hospitality that I thought I knew. I was re-educated by Lydia. Her sense of family, her sense of pride that she takes in that space. You know, that space is 30 years old. We have guests who have been coming since day one. There are servers there that have been there since day one that worked with her in Queens. I learned more about hospitality from her in the time that I spent there than I learned at any other house. So I left and I worked for hotels for a while. I was with Wyndham Hotels for a couple of years as a regional F&B director for the Southern Tier, redesigning. They've gone through a whole new sort of, they're trying to be a little more organic now, trying to rebrand themselves. So I worked with them for a few years and positioned myself where I could take some time off and try to find the right fit. At my age, I kind of thought, you know, this is probably this is where I want to coast into now.
But aren't you just 25?
I look 25, thank you very much. No, I'm not.
I'm shocked.
I'm in my mid to late 30s. But I positioned myself where I could take the time to find something. So I had there was an offer in Nantucket, didn't want it. There was an offer in the Berkshires, and I was actually headed to the Berkshires when Omar reached out to me, who I had known from Miami. And I learned a little bit about the project as soon as I found out that Kenny was on board, and I knew more about his background. There was no choice. I had to come back to the city, and it's where I'm from, and so it was like coming home.
Yeah. So I'm really interested in the meshing and the collaboration process that's going on, because you have this like kind of fabulous character in Omar who knows everybody and has this like legendary black book with 10,000 plus contacts or something. And then you have Chef Kenny, who comes from like a really food focused, ingredient driven, you know, sustainability focused background. And then Thomas, you're such a professional. You've been in the business forever. You have such a strong sense of service and what you want. How do you guys come together? Like, this is just one restaurant, and you have so many unique ideas and aspects to your own personalities and your backgrounds.
Well, it's been a very organic sort of trip, and I think a lot of that it's in no small part to Omar and the way he puts things together. There are things that Kenny is extremely strong at that I'm terribly weak at. And it goes for all of us. We all sort of fill in the gaps, and we make a very solid team. And personally, we all get along very well. I spend more time with Kenny than I spend with anybody. We're bonded in a really odd, strange way.
Definitely are.
And front of the house, you know, the front of the house and back of the house don't often... There's often a very strong line of demarcation between the two. Kenny's helped to bridge that. I think with my kitchen background, I think that helps too. So we've made a very sort of tight little group. And now with the addition of our front of the house staff, which we took great care in hiring, we had many, many, many applications. And the small group that we have now were handpicked. Because they're the best at what they do.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, we spend a lot of time together. We start to understand each other, recognizing each other's weaknesses and each other's flaws, with one common goal in mind, for the guest.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all about
it
the guest.
It just sounds so seamless and magical. Has there been anything in the process of, you know, just kind of like defining who, what this restaurant is or what the food is going to be like or what the service is going to be like that you just couldn't really at first come together on?
Well, there's still all things right now that we're working on, you know, with such a concept and idea with the supper club and the members. You know, it takes a little time to figure it out. We have our style. But once you have the space, is defining everything as it is. The food has to fit. Everything has to fit together.
Yeah.
So we're still learning. We're infants right now, but we will crawl soon. And hopefully we'll learn to walk in a week or so and get this thing up and running. But, you know, Thomas hit a key point. It's about the team. I mean, I can't tell you how grateful I am to have a kitchen staff who is like, came from 11 Madison Park, Atera, Blue Hill, per se. I even had a kid fly out from the French Laundry just to be on the squad. So we have a collection of the most amazing people in New York City at this time. So everything feels right. We're going to make a run for it. Omar's out there. He has the book. But all of our friends and all the people we know, we're going to give it our best.
Yeah.
You know, highest level of hospitality, highest level of food, but in a way that's not pretentious.
Yeah.
But still seamless and flawless.
Well, I think also a big point of this is we were all of the major players in this, we were all at the point in our careers where it was organic. We were just ripe for picking. This is exactly where we wanted to be in our careers. And that keeps our excitement level incredibly high and our commitment to this incredibly, incredibly solid. So, you know, that's what keeps us going every day. Every single day, it's because this is where we want to be, and we know how amazing this project is.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about. I really want to get into what the restaurant will be like, and we haven't even touched upon the fact that it's almost two restaurants in one. One part's going to be a private dining club or supper club, and then the other part is a restaurant that's open to the general public. So I really want to get into the nitty-gritty of how the logistics and how this is going to go down, but we just want to take a quick break, check in with our sponsors.
Great.
And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Piece of Your Pie by Snowmine on heritageradionetwork.org. The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We're back with Chef Kenny Cuomo and Thomas Tracy, General Manager of Omar, an exciting new restaurant that's set to open very, very soon in New York's West Village. So we're just about to talk about how the restaurant works. And we were mentioning that it's a restaurant that's going to be open to the general public. And then there's also another room under the same roof that's going to be a private dining club. So what's the deal?
Well, it's actually two halves of a restaurant. It's the old Hotel Grafou space at 21 West 9th Street. Great space, which we have completely rehabbed from the ground up. The one side of our space is a private members-only dinner club, supper club. We have a base core of members. They come in and they, it's a place for them to come. First of all, the entire restaurant is a home. It's based on a feeling of home, comfort, and a place where you can relax. Our private side is geared mainly toward, you know, perhaps people in the public eye, some people that want a little bit of privacy, that want to be able to go out, experience a comfortable place where the food is amazing, where the service is top-notch, and where they know that they are going to have the utmost privacy. Sometimes that's difficult, I think, for high-profile people to go, and they don't want to be looked at. They don't want to be. This is a great place for them. This is a great place for them to come. It's comfortable. We have two fireplaces in that part of the restaurant. We have a beautiful library bar. We also have a back room that has a view to the garden. It's very, very pretty. And it's just a place where that they can call home when they're not at home. And now we have members from Asia. We have members from Europe. We have members from Los Angeles. When they come to town, this is where they'll come. This will be their home away from home.
So you already have members, even though the restaurant's not open?
We do. We have people who were as soon as they heard that Omar was opening a space, we had people wanting to sign on because of his, what he brings to the picture.
Yeah, his name. Yes. And his legacy as a hospitality person. Wow. Of flair or spark.
Flair, yes.
A person of flair. who gets to be a member? Can I be a member?
Well, we had a core base of members that were in Omar's black book, as it were. They are allowed to invite members. You certainly can inquire. I would be more than happy to back you if you wanted to be a member.
Thank you, Thomas.
Because I'd love to have you there.
Yeah.
Because you're too much fun, actually.
This isn't about me, you guys.
But yeah,
okay, keep going.
We have a core base, and members can invite members.
Okay. But also, you can invite members? You as the general manager and you as the chef, and Omar as Omar?
Yes. Well, there's a way that it works. You know, I mean, we have these beautiful spaces, and friends and members, they all have an opportunity to be part of this. So basically what it is, we set it up. We create amazing food for them. And then the members we work very closely with. So we know their likes, their dislikes, and we get it to a point where we know they're coming. We just start creating menus for them.
Okay.
They trust us in a way.
So it's really individually tailored and customized.
Well, that was the key, is super level of hospitality that really hasn't been tapped into in the city. But there's definitely a market for. I mean, everybody wants to feel a little exclusive, a little special, be super tuned into what's going on. So by doing that, we're able to capture that little bit of the market and just give them a home to come to.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, we know your drink. You step up, we have your cocktail waiting for you. Welcome home, you know, and so we know the food that they want, and we create little special menus. We know if they're coming in to celebrate something, you know, maybe little surprise birthday cakes. It's just a higher level of knowledge that we have.
And I think that's with the advent of so many, you know, all the intricacies of a POS system and of our reservation systems. We know we can track what people have had the last time they were in. And we know what was a favorite. They'll give us comments. We're going to keep records. We already have records on so many people of their likes and dislikes. And it's, as Kenny said, it's just a higher level of service. But at the same time, we're not looking to do that type of service where it's almost oppressive. You know, when you go to a restaurant, I know I go to a restaurant sometimes. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I want to go to a restaurant to relax and have a good time and enjoy great food. Where I know the service is going to be fantastic, but not obtrusive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of our goal. It's like if you go home, if you go to your mom's house, your mom knows that you don't like lima beans. Just pulled that completely out of my ass right there, but you don't like lima beans.
Well, and no one likes lima beans.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm so embarrassed. But your mom knows that, so she's not going to make it for us. We know that. Chef knows that. He's tuned in. The day before we open, when we have our meeting, we have a dossier of who comes in and who's not coming in, and we know everything. The kitchen has it.
So can your members just walk in, or you need to know?
Sure, they can walk in. Okay. Absolutely. They are guaranteed a table whenever they would like.
Okay. Is there any sort of fear of, you know, maybe some big personalities coming in and sort of taking advantage of the hospitality? I mean, at the end of the day, it's their home, but it's your home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you have to maintain that level of control. Like, there has to be an understanding in hospitality in order for things to work.
But, you know, it's a sickness that we have, this hospitality people, because I love what I do. So the more difficult a guest is or a member is, not difficult in as far as the more needs they have, the happier I am to try to make that work. It's, again, it's a sickness. I think I've told you that before in the past. It's we're not right. But it's what we love. It's what we love to do.
Yeah. I mean, there was some story a couple years ago about J-Lo walking into some restaurant.
Oh, the candles she likes, right? Is that what you're going to talk about?
I don't know, but she wanted a milkshake. There was no milkshake on the menu, but she wanted a milkshake. So they ran out to the deli. They got milk and they got ice cream and, you know, whatever ingredients they didn't have. And they made her a milkshake.
Chef, could we do that? Could we do a milkshake?
We're all about that. I mean, listen.
For J-Lo.
At the end of the day, well, I don't know if J-Lo can even get into this restaurant. So
it's that good.
Well, she's obviously listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org right now.
So, no, it's about, at the end of the day, we're servers. People come for the experience. My ego will not get in the way. If a child comes in and wants a hamburger, I will make them a little hamburger. I mean, yes, there are limits and there's lines to stuff. But the truth of the matter is, we can't say no. You know, at the end of the day, we want that money.
Okay, you heard it here first. This is the chef who cannot say no. So what about the other people in the restaurant?
I can say no.
Thank you for having me back,
Thomas. So what about the people on the other side? What are they going to eat? And are they going to feel bad because they don't get to order whatever they
take
want?
Takeout.
Well, the food throughout the place is very similar. The menu is always seasonal, always changing. You know, for that side of the restaurant, we have a great menu. And for that, I put spontaneous tasting menus available. So they feel the same level of hospitality. The same way, I'll create something for them, too. The restaurant is quite small. I mean, we can only seat about 80 people at a time. So we have control, you know, and I want everybody has to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's this dual concept kind of thing. You know, you can walk into the bar, sit down at the bar, order a few snacks, have, you know, a salad, split it with somebody and a couple cocktails and leave. Or you can come to the other side, have a little bit more of an evening out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're trying to capture all levels of the demographic out there. I mean, that part of the town, of the village, is very diverse, you know? So there's college kids around. At the same time, there's millionaires around. So we want everybody
to want all of their money.
We want everybody. Well, listen, they want good food, and we want to give them that in the highest level of service.
And we're not that, I mean, our price point is not that insane. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I think our glasses of wine top out at $14 for an amazing glass of wine. So it's not.
So anyone can eat there.
Anybody can eat there. Saying. Absolutely. What makes the difference is the private members. We have a track record of them. So if Bob and Sue come in from wherever, Fort Lee, and they want to have dinner, that's fine. We just might not have their likes and dislikes. That's one of the beautiful things about having the members is we can tell you whatever we need to tell you about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the perks of it. But no, the food is amazing. Chef's food, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've been to the tastings. It's insane.
Yeah. Can you tell us
a little
bit about the food,
Chef?
Well,
that's kind of what we want to do. You know, the whole goal behind this restaurant, Omar, and the culture and the philosophy of the food is the high level of food I've created at all these restaurants, learning from the best chefs on the planet, but more approachable. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this good food.
Yeah.
So the same high level of technique, the same high level of ingredients, but I want people to come every week. Come once a week. Come see what's going on. See how the menu's changing. Come see this beautiful food, seasoned perfectly, tastes amazing, and is also aesthetically beautiful. And it's playful as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it leaves a lot for the imagination. We're having fun. My team has fun doing it. So that's what we're creating. You know, I want everybody to be able to come there. It's approachable. It's great food. And, you know, it's the same level you would find in these top restaurants.
Yeah.
Just not as stuffy.
So give us a little teaser on the menu. What are you really excited about?
I'm excited about a lot of stuff.
Talk about the frog legs.
I
live for them. They're amazing.
So I happen to love frog legs. And, you know, one of the rooms that we have is the La Ranita. And I've created this little frog leg. It's basically like a little popper. I've boned it out, and we fill it with the stuffing of garlic and cream cheese and lemon, deep fry it, and it's like our little chicken wing, but it's made out of a frog's leg.
Wow.
So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like
tasty.
A jalapeno popper, but with
pretty much
frog's legs.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
I love that, like high and low melding and fusion. So what about for, you know, a little lighter fare?
Lighter fare. We've got some beautiful artichoke salads coming around now. Really cool technique. Perfectly cooked. Going with some spring stuff. We love offal, sweetbreads, foie gras, of course.
Yeah. I heard something about your Hearts of Palm salad.
Yes. We have this beautiful Hearts of Palm coming from a friend, Keith in Hawaii. So he cuts this Heart of Palm down every Monday and sends it to us. And it is one of the most amazing products you will ever see. This particular one we're pairing with roasted cashew butter, coconut, and golden beets. So,
did you bring me some?
I didn't, but I'll have some waiting for you when
okay.
you come around. You know, other stuff that we're very excited about is large format items for two or for four. One example would be we're doing this beautiful roast. And I have a mushroom guy in Massachusetts, and he gets me the most amazing hen of the woods mushrooms. So this is, I'm very vegetarian friendly. You know, I want to do cool stuff for them. I want to create dishes that feel meaty, that are meaty, that give them the same flair, that make them feel the wow factor. So we have a beautiful roasted hen of the woods mushroom for two people. We'll present it in the dining room, bring it back, carve it up. So it's like a vegetarian's piece of meat, you know?
Yeah. Just a question. If I came in and ordered that, but didn't share with anyone, would you judge me?
No.
Okay.
We don't judge. We don't judge.
I wouldn't. I'm going to order the ribeye for two and just eat it myself.
Okay. As long as you're
don't worry about
that. I'm going to eat that mushroom.
You get it.
Yeah. So I just want to know, you know, you guys obviously have an interesting concept as far as like the two different rooms and, but you're still, you know, at the end of the day, a restaurant in the West Village that's doing seasonal, local American cuisine. What makes you stand out? Why should they go to Omar to eat something that's local and sustainable and highlighting ingredient-driven restaurants versus, you know, any other restaurant in the West Village with the same sort of food concept?
You know, I got to tell you, there's such a great energy in our restaurant, in the space alone. So when you first walk into the space, we've taken such great detail in the design of it. And Omar has been very involved in that. I've been very involved in it, as well as Chef. Every day we're working with the construction people and making sure that it looks as beautiful as it possibly can. When you get in there, you have an immediate sense, an immediate comfort level, a feel of just happiness, you know, yeah. from the mural that we have on the wall in the back. Just really beautiful, beautifully appointed. And then once you sit down and your first plate is brought to you, you're going to be overwhelmed. It's an overwhelming, I don't think that you'll expect the food that comes out.
Right.
I think that everybody who receives that first plate will be completely surprised.
Yeah.
And then we appoint, you know, our service. Our service is very relaxed, very comfortable, yet well appointed. It's just an overall experience.
Yeah. I've heard you guys say the word unpretentious a couple times.
That's how we are.
Which is really refreshing to hear.
But we don't want to be that. There's plenty of that in New York.
There is.
And that gets really tough. I don't like to go. I love per se. You know that I love per se, Kenny. But if I want to go out for a fun night, it's not per se. That's when I want to go out and impress somebody. I don't go there for fun. So we don't want that. Our food is unpretentious. It's beautiful and unpretentious. Our service is unpretentious. And the whole feeling, the whole space, it's clean. It's beautiful. It's... you know, Omar says it's like being inside a Fendi bag. I don't really know what that means.
I've never been inside a Fendi bag.
I don't know what that means.
I've never even smelled a Fendi bag.
I don't know what that means, but
it must be fun if Omar likes it.
If Omar likes it, then trust me.
It's a party in a bag.
It's a party in a bag.
So is it a party restaurant? Is it a food restaurant? Is it a hot restaurant, sceney place? Or, I mean, what is the focus? Is it everything?
It's everything.
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to nowadays. You want to run a great restaurant. We'll ride the press wave for a little while, but the food and the service will bring people back, hopefully for the next 5 to 10 years, and we can keep doing this thing.
Well, so. Just listen, the way the room moves, you know, you come into the bar, which is beautifully appointed, and you move right into the dining room. But then once dinner service is over, we have the vault, which is an amazing space under the street. And it's actually the original coved brick from when the building was first built. It has views right into our glass wine cellar. There's some small settees down there. We have cocktail service. It's a great place to end your evening. So even if you don't start with us, even if you have dinner someplace else, you can finish it up at Omar because we have We have the right feeling for every moment of your evening.
Yeah, there's something for everyone at
home. Yeah, there really, really is.
I guess there is.
Well, we want them to come, drink, feel a little warm and fuzzy inside, and eat Korean cuisine.
Yum.
That's
okay.
Okay,
so 9th Street, Village, between 5th and 6th.
Yes, 21 West 9th
Street. 21 West 9th Street, opening.
Officially the second week of May. I believe it's May 6th or 7th.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. It sounds amazing. It sounds like a party in a bag with delicious food. I'll
be
there.
All right.
Thanks, Chef Kenny.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, see you at Omar.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for listening. This is Sari with HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Check out all of our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher and at our website, HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.